This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station. The bigger picture on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Daily Digest with me, Ti Xiaoyik and Juliet Jacobs. Today we have two stories for you. First up, a Facebook role-playing page titled "A Group Where We All Pretend to Be Ants in an Ant Colony" has become wildly and surprisingly popular during the COVID-19 lockdown period, and it's garnered almost 2 million members. So we'll be looking at why people are pretending to be ants for entertainment and escapism.
I saw what you did there. And you know, while we're still talking about COVID-19, face masks, you know, have really become part of our daily lives as a result of the coronavirus. But, you know, these disposable plastic masks are having a devastating effect on the planet, and researchers believe that they could actually cause an environmental disaster that might last generations. So we're going to discuss the environmental footprint of what many are calling the symbol of the COVID-19 pandemic, face masks. So in relation to that, we have a Twitter poll running. So we're asking you whether you've been seeing disposable face masks being littered in public. So your options are yes, too many, yes, just a few, or not at all. So, you know, join in that poll and tweet us any messages you have, you know, at BFM Radio, or you can send us a WhatsApp message at 018-789-8899.
Yes, so if seeing face masks being littered indiscriminately is making you feel stressed out, you know, or maybe seeing all the COVID-related news appearing on your social media feed nonstop may be bugging you, or perhaps physical distancing is making you feel antisocial, excuse the ant puns, I'm just assuming my role as an ant in an ant colony. And that's something that almost, like I said earlier, almost 2 million other people around the world are also doing on this Facebook group called "A Group Where We All Pretend to Be Ants in an Ant Colony." So this is a closed group, but anyone can ask to join in. You'll be admitted very easily. And when you join, you are bid welcome with this message. I quote, "In this group, we are ants. We worship the queen and do ant stuff. Welcome to the colony."
So when you do join, you have to promise to abide by 10 rules, which cover things like courtesy, no drugs, alcohol, sexually explicit material or violence. There's no hate speech or bullying, and there are no promotions or spam. Mm. And here are a few other interesting rules. So rule 6 says, and I quote, "The first letters of the words 'the queen' must always be capitalized."
Of course,
right? And rule 7 warns members to refrain from antarchy or ant anarchy. And rule 8 determines members' names. So they say that your ant name is just your name with ant in front of it. So mine would be Aunt Juliet and yours would be Aunt Shawik. And please only refer to each other by their ant names.
Yes, please only call me Aunt Shawik
from now on. Yes. And rule 9 states that no posts on human politics or religion are allowed. Neither are posts, comments regarding COVID-19. So I guess ant politics is allowed?
I think so.
I would assume so.
Or ant religion. And I guess the fact that they ban COVID-19 related posts tells you something about what this group is meant to do, right? But just a bit of background, the page began quite innocuously. In June 2019, actually, Tyrese Charles, a 21-year-old choral music education student from North Dakota in the United States, noticed different role-playing groups going viral on social media. So Tyrese decided to start his own group for his friends and uni mates. And the ant theme actually came to him as he was leaving work one day and he saw an anthill. And as you might anticipate, inspiration struck.
Well done, Shawik. Aunt Shawik. The page began attracting users in a steady trickle. By March this year, there were about 100,000 members. And after the pandemic struck, the group really ballooned in size, reaching about 1.9 million members today.
You know, I can't believe it. And, you know, I'm one of those 1.9 million.
I've yet to join. I haven't joined the colony yet, but I must.
So you're not worthy of the title Aunt Juliet just yet.
Okay, we'll get to that.
But just to give you an idea, if you're not a member yet, the kinds of posts that you get on the group. So one of them, one of the hugely popular ones, is a picture of ants on a bowl of ice cream. And the post says, "Fellow ants, I found ice cream. Munch with me and then take some to the queen." And 19,000 Facebook users responded to this post while pretending to be ants. So their comments are really simple stuff. It's just like, "Nom." slurp and lift to the queen.
Okay, and another post, is a sort of a sculpture of an ant, a metal sculpture, and it has an ant blowing on a trumpet. And the comment on the post, there's a question actually, what song he play?
What song?
What song indeed? You know, what is this ant playing? So among the 1,000 responses, the ants go marching one by one.
Of course.
Party rock anthem. Oh. Anything by Adam Ant. This is my favorite. Bohemian Rhapsody. the national anthem. Ed Sheeran.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yep, so many.
And, many of the posts are also memes and puns. So this is a funny one, I thought. So it's two pictures. One is a picture of an ice shelf, I guess, and it says Arctic. And then the same picture of the ice shelf with an ant on top of it, it says Antarctic.
I love it so much.
But in case you think it's all sort of just these frivolous things, it's not, because the page has recently started to sell ant merchandise and they're actually donating their profits to charity. So recently they raised $10,000 and they actually donated that to the Nature Conservancy, which is a global charitable environmental organization.
Yes, and apart from the ant colony, nearly 100 other role-playing groups are estimated to exist on Facebook, including those where members pretend to be boomers, ant eaters, ooh, cows, people who work in the same office, and even characters in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So members in these groups number in the thousands, and all the groups are named, and this is again what it's called, a group where you pretend to be ...
Fill in the blanks. So these role-playing groups, I guess they do provide entertainment, companionship and social interaction during a time when many people are sorely lacking of these, right? And people join these Facebook groups, some of them just to look at the posts a few times and laugh at the general joke, but some actually become sincerely invested and really follow what's happening, keep up with the posts. They even create events and things like that. So I have to admit, I'm still wondering what makes these groups so attractive.
You're on a roll today. You really are.
Let's turn to clinical psychologist Dr. Alvin Ng for answers. Dr. Alvin, thanks for joining us. So what did you think when you first heard about this Facebook role-playing group?
Yeah, well, you know, when you asked me about it, I decided to go look at the literature. And me being a scientist, that's what I look for. We can always have all our hunches, and half the time we are correct. The other half, we really need to look at the evidence. And it's really interesting that people do it out of the novelty. Because ants is a pretty much a new thing for role-play game, because people normally role-play romanticized characters such as, you know, Vikings and other stuff. You look at the Warcraft, you know, building cities.
That's
you can
right.
actually identify with the character. But yep. Here you are an ant. You're pretty much no one, but somehow you contribute to a role. I would see it as, you know, having this sense of belonging that is very much needed, especially during the pandemic when, you know, you are under movement control. So, you know, you can have this sense of belonging and interact within a safe environment, or safe enough, I would say safe in inverted commas. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a community that you belong to and feel useful. Because if we look at, there are many theories that we can pick out of psychology that can support, you know, what we see. But generally, we know that as human beings, we feel better when we have this sense of belonging. We belong somewhere. We are accepted by a certain group. And within that group, we are also useful and relevant. And that feeds into our self-efficacy, knowing that we are able to do something and that we have got the resources to do what we're able to do. So we know from all kinds of research that when you have a good sense of efficacy, you automatically have good general well-being. So feeling like you belong and that you're useful is very rewarding for a lot of people. So being in a role-play game and ants, you know, they gives you that buzz. And of course, you would like to be part of it, because it's not just a normal game where you start and you end, but something like this goes on, there's continuity. As long as novelty is still there and that sense of belonging, self-efficacy, you're useful, you're relevant, is something that continues to be satisfying or rewarding, you'll stay in it. And, you know, from what I read, you know, I read with a lot of curiosity, I realized that, you know, being curious about this is also very uplifting. It gives you the energy. Although it's not my thing, I definitely wouldn't go into it. I also found out that there are a lot of things that they learn, not just about ants, but about each other and the process of a game. So we also know from the research that knowledge, you know, getting new knowledge is very uplifting, mm-hmm. very exciting, and mm-hmm. it gives you that buzz of energy. And doing that as a group, coupled with, again, that sense of belonging and sense of efficacy, it's a pretty rewarding thing. And that contributes to well-being.
More generally, though, why do people turn to role-playing and what do they get out of it?
Well, part of role-play, apart from self-efficacy that I mentioned, is that, you know, you start noticing that you've got certain skill sets, you know, personal capabilities, the resource that you have with you to perform those abilities within a group makes you relevant. And it's something I find, especially during the pandemic when we are in lockdown, there's a loss of that feeling or experience. And being humans, we like to belong somewhere. We want to get out there and get mixing. But because we are, in a way, like ants, you know, you block one way, you try to find the other way. So I suppose this is relatable to a lot of people. And again, it's a novelty. It's nice to get into a character that hasn't got a name. You're just an ant. Well, I don't know exactly how the game works, whether they actually have names or not. You are anonymous, which means you don't have the pressure of being known. Again, you're just an ant. And there's studies also showing that when you play role-play games, whether or not there are any character names, there are levels that you go through in terms of your, I guess, identity of sort, in inverted commas, where you transform from a human being, you know, to a person, your own character, mm-hmm. to the player, being a player, and then under the player, you would have the character that you're playing. Mm-hmm. So the character that you play would have some kind of, I suppose, role. I mean, of course, you have a role, but part of the role would be to have certain kind of skill. Like, say, if you're a soldier ant, you are responsible for certain things. And you learn the responsibilities. And this kind of learning of responsibilities, playing that role and accepted by, I wouldn't even say fictional group, because the group is real, just that the mm-hmm. character is fiction. Mm-hmm. You can then bring back to you being a person and a human being to feel good about who you are, where you belong. So it ties in with a sense of belonging again, you know, because within that character that you play in a group like this ant group thingy, mm-hmm. you have team building. You have, I mean, under team building, you've got collaboration and communication, obviously. And playing an ant, you are forced to be creative because I don't think anyone would know how an ant lives. We more or less know from outside as human beings, but if you were to put yourself into the ant, you've got to be creative in how you might want to communicate, because you may not speak. You could have your antlers, your feelers, you know, you communicate that way. You breathe through your knees. You've got to go through tunnels. So you need to be creative. And creativity, again, breeds energy, just like curiosity. So you collaborate creatively, team building, because you are a community. You've got to make sure your nest is safe and has good defense. So you've got to start getting creative about the possible circumstances that you go through. That team building, collaboration, creativity would definitely lead to some form of personal development as a character. So if you bring that back to your real life and have that sense of, wow, hey, I actually got all these kind of skills. Wonderful. And there's a likelihood that you're also able to translate it in the real world as, again, self-efficacy, which then also links very well to this sense of belongingness and usefulness. So who wouldn't like that? You know, you can get immersed in a particular kind of game that provides you with that usefulness in a sense. When, you know, in real life, you're stuck at home, you're facing the screen, pretty much isolated from the rest of the world because of the virus. And it's difficult to keep on connecting maybe through phone, or we get Zoom fatigue. So every now and then, it's nice to just withdraw and into a world that would seemingly be more meaningful.
Are there any potential pitfalls from becoming too immersed in these worlds?
Oh, definitely. Also from tons of research showing that while there are evidence showing that it can promote well-being, there's always a likelihood of addiction. And when you get addicted, you withdraw socially. It affects your real-world relationships. It affects your daily routines and responsibilities. So you become maladaptive. You don't adapt well to day-to-day kind of functioning. There's also a likelihood of social isolation because you're so immersed in the not so real world that your real world relationships, you know, get affected. Like what I said before, and that leads to a lot of discrepancy between the online world and your actual world. So the bigger the discrepancy, the more, I suppose, feeling of detachment to how your real world is. If your online world is more attractive, it's understandable that you feel detached with the real world. And that's where, you know, you have a higher risk of becoming depressed and feeling isolated. You know, while it's a good escape in, you know, the short term, doing this excessively can lead to that, again, dissonance between what's real, what's not. It leads to depression because you start wondering what's meaningful anymore. And with depression, you also get anxiety because you're not too sure what's going to happen. Your sense of reality goes off. Obviously, you're going to be very anxious. So that's the downside of it. The pros and cons, just don't get too attached. Plus, you know, if it is extreme and excessive, it's going to affect your rest time, your sleep. And we know very well that if our sleep is affected, we're going to be pretty cranky and not function the rest of the day.
What does the popularity of these groups tell you about what people are going through emotionally?
It's hard to tell because there's both good and bad. Emotionally, I suppose, again, putting ourselves in this very challenging times of the pandemic where you need to stay away from people. I suppose emotions could be, again, having that sense of belonging. You can relate to people online. You can relate to others because they're all there acting like an ant. There is a common goal, a common focus. Emotions would be, hey, you know, this is cool. We are learning this together. There's this sense of togetherness, exploring together. And that becomes some sort of a surrogate, I suppose, platform or situation where people can socialize without the fear of and discomfort of, you know, wearing masks and the fear of getting infected. Yeah, it's still a pretty new thing. And from my exposure to research on such, I would say, phenomena, it's still pretty new. Although there have been tons of research on gaming, just that this is a different situation.
You know, Dr. Elvin, many of the role-playing games on FB, they're pretty mundane. You know, for example, a group where we all pretend to work at the same office, you know, and it's been suggested that this is helpful for people who are stuck in lockdown and don't get to have these sorts of mundane experiences right now. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I guess it shows that we take a lot of mundane things for granted. We call them mundane because I suppose we also romanticize mundane. It's very relative. And until you're put into a situation where mundane is no longer mundane, then it becomes attractive. Just like how, you know, look, you look in the world of fashion, I will use fashion as an example. Things that we wear every day, we take them for granted until we see at a fashion show when there is a fashion walk and you see models wearing stuff that you are wearing and you go, what's this? You see this every day, but because it is it's attached to a brand, it becomes very attractive. And then one particular brand, a handbag looks exactly like a supermarket reusable bag, mm-hmm. and you sell for thousands. Mm. It's mundane, and yet it is somehow made to be attractive. So I suppose it's relative. You know, something very simple can be super attractive, just like art.
Thank you so much, Dr. Alvin. That was Dr. Alvin Ng, clinical psychologist, and he had quite a lot to share about why people find a sense of belonging and self-efficacy in Facebook role-playing groups like these. Yeah, so, is there anything interesting that you've turned to for escapism during these times, Juliet?
I haven't had the time, unfortunately. I want to do is sleep, actually. That's the only form of escapism I would like, but I will go and like this page and I will try it out.
You might lose sleep because of this. So I'm not sure if I'll encourage it.
Oh,
but, you know, for all of you listening, tell us, you know, if there's anything you'd like to share about these kinds of groups, or if you have any ant puns, do tweet us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. We'll be back after the break with another story for you. But for now, here's The Birds with So You Want to Be a Rock and Roll Star, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.